You know, all of us got a story to tell of when Jesus came into your life, about things that happened, where you've been, the places you went to, those kind of things. But it's so important for all of us also to be able to share that with other people. So what I want to do is I just want to share my testimony with you guys tonight, but I'm going to do it in like 3 to 5 minutes. And there's a lot of things in all of our testimonies, there's a lot of things that happened. So, I mean, you can make it half an hour long, but you must also be able to share it with someone in 3 to 5 minutes. Because maybe at some stage you're standing at a till somewhere and you only got that split second. And then you need to be able to do that. So I'm going to share mine with you guys, and then I'm going to give you some pointers on how to do that. Yeah, I grew up in a Christian home, so I knew everything about church. But although I grew up in a Christian home, I had no relationship with Jesus. And why I can say that is because, you know, there was never this thing of talking to God and hearing God's voice or recognizing Him giving me direction or anything like that. So I was at a stage of my life where my life was, it was a mess. I was drinking a lot, I was smoking weed, I was dishonest in doing business, I cursed a lot, I did a lot of things wrong. So I was a very good example of how not to live. And if someone asked me, but are you a Christian, I would have said yes. Because I know about God and I went to church and that kind of stuff now and then. But so I saw myself as a Christian. And then someone came to me, and that person started to share basically just his walk with Jesus. So every now and then, second, third day, this guy came to my place of business, and he just shared with me, you know, how he's experiencing God, what happened, the things that happened in his life, the last 2 or 3 days, those kind of things. And for me, it was like, I don't understand this. I don't recognize this. I grew up in a Christian home, but there's something different about this guy than what I'm used to. So I got to a place of realizing, but, you know, that thing that I've got is not a relationship with Jesus. And I remember the day he asked me, do I want to give my life to Christ? In a way, I was offended because, I mean, what do you mean, you know? I believe in Jesus and all those kind of things. Okay, maybe the fruit is not what it's supposed to be. But, I thought, but how can this guy ask me that? And so I said to him, no, you know, my life is right with Christ. It maybe it don't look like it to you, but I'm sorted out. And he left, and I think half an hour or so after that, this thing started to bother me. And I realized that my life with Christ isn't right. So I got to a place where I believe that the Holy Spirit just revealed to me about the sin in my life, and it's not accepted to Christ to live like that. And what I did is I found the guy and I invite him back, and I told him, listen, I want to give my life to Christ, but I don't know how this is going to work. Because with everything going on in my life, I mean, I don't go to parties. The party is at my house. On weekends. Before we put in built-in cupboards in the house, we put in a bar and a pool table and that kind of stuff. So, and I was really at the place of saying to God, Lord, you know, I'm willing to give this a chance if you are willing. But I know I can't turn my life around. So I need you to come and do this. And I gave my life to Christ that evening. It was the 1st of October. I gave my life to Christ that evening. And there's a couple of things that stopped in that moment. I stopped cursing right there and then. Like the next day, there wasn't any bad words coming out of my mouth anymore. So it was something that I could really experience God releasing me in that instant. I changed my way of doing business that evening. But I still struggled to stop drinking. It took me about a month. And I'm not going to go into the detail of that now. But so that was really a challenge for me, but God released me of that in about a month. And it took me about a year and a half to get to the point of stop smoking. And today I'm at a place where I can say those things aren't part of my life anymore. Because in walking with Jesus, he released me of those things. But even still today, my life isn't perfect. I'm still at a place where I discover things about myself that I don't like, that I the stuff that I don't want to see there. So I'm still at a place where I'm on my knees before Christ. And where I understand that I need his help to change more and more every day. So that's my testimony in under 5 minutes. And why I shared that like that is, I think it's important for all of us, like I said in the beginning, to be able to do that, to be able to share your testimony with someone. Now, I've got a long version. I can tell it in like, keep you busy for the next hour. But the problem is, if you go out into the world and you want to invite people to Christ, they don't want to listen to half an hour or an hour story about your testimony. So therefore, it's so important for us to be able, and that's what tonight's basically what it's all about, is to get to that that place of and being comfortable to share your testimony with someone else. And all of us, you got saved because someone shared his testimony with you. Or you got saved because someone was willing to talk to you about Christ. So you got saved because someone got the guts together to step out of the boat. And by doing that, he got you into the boat. And now if you look at church, and if you think about church is not about us coming to church, being in a comfortable place all the time, and not going out and doing the same. Church is for us to go out and to make a difference out there. And therefore, it's necessary for us to be willing to take those kind of steps that we're not comfortable with. Now, a lot of people, they say, okay, yeah, but you're an evangelist. That's why you do this all the time. I'm not the evangelist. If you look at the different giftings you get, evangelist is the one I've got the least of. So every time I go out and I do this thing where I go talk to people, I'm way out of my comfort zone. So don't think because I'm a pastor, it comes easy to me. Don't. I mean, I develop different methods of how to do this and how to get this done, but I do it. It's like the other day I told Sus, some of you might know about this, sometimes I invite someone for a coffee and then I'll share a longer version maybe of my testimony and I'll ask that person to share his testimony with me as well. But what I do is I go to a coffee shop where there's a lot of people around and where the tables are very close to each other. I did it with you as well. So then we'll go sit there and I'll share my testimony with him and he shared his testimony with me. So the people around us got the privilege to have church right there in the coffee shop. Understand what I'm saying? But we need to change our way of thinking about how to get the gospel out. And the funny thing, this coffee shop, sometimes I go there and there's all this doof, doof, doof music. And by the time I'm leaving, and I'm not joking, they're playing Matt Redman. So I don't know how that happens, but I saw it happen. So, yeah. What I want to do first, I just want to show you guys a video clip of missions we did in Lesotho. Now, we did a lot of missions in Lesotho, but there's a couple of things I want you to notice in this. This is not going to show you, okay, so you do it like that and like that and like that. I just want to show you something else in it. And basically, like I said, we did a lot of missions there. The clip we're going to show you is this one outreach we had. It was like a men's outreach. It was only men on that one. There was other outreaches that we had that was mixed, and some with children and with old people, all that kind of stuff. But a couple of things I want you to notice is if you go out on missions, it can be fun. So it's really something that brings people closer together. There's like a bond that develops there that you can't explain to people. Also, if you do missions, a lot of times we think that we do missions for the people out there, but also we are being changed in that process. I remember the one guy, best friend of mine, on this outreach before we went, he told me, but he can't speak in tongues. And we just prayed about it and we left it there. And on the outreach, at some stage, he was busy praying for a child. And while praying at the stage, he is like, he just realized, but I'm praying in tongues. So it came just like that. You'll see with the clip there, we as guys, boys will be boys. So we had a lot of fun. But also we had a lot of special times where the Holy Spirit really ministered to us. And also where we really experienced God using us to those people as well. And you'll see on some of the photos, there's a dark room with a lot of boys sitting in that room that we ministered to. Now, the story behind that is in Lesotho, you get what you call the shepherd boys. Now, the thing about the shepherd boys is there's a lot of orphans in Lesotho. And when a child's parents die, they basically, almost on say, they get adopted by the neighbor or an uncle or whoever. But when you get adopted, they don't see you as their child. They see you as property. So what you do is you become a shepherd boy. They'll send you out into the mountains and they'll look after your sheep. And some of those boys are like 6 years old. So they go out into the mountains, they look after the sheep, they need to protect the sheep from wild and that kind of stuff. And then as payment, they get, I think it's 3 sheep a year. And if any of that sheep in the dies or anything, they subtracted from yours. And also they'll get millipap is the food they'll get, but that's it. So that's the story of a shepherd boy. A couple of years ago, they were seen as property in a way that you were allowed to kill those children without any gevolgen. Yeah. Because they were seen as property. Now that changed in the last few years, but still you see this boys up in the mountains all the time. And at the shepherd school, we just we ministered to them, and also we gave them lessons, wiskunde, and believe it or not, English. But yeah, and the thing about that is, so they come down for school down from the mountains like 8, 9 in the evening. They come down, and then you've got time with them. So when you look at the pictures where you'll see it's a dark room, we're busy praying for a lot of boys and so on, that's the shepherd boys. So I just want you to understand the story behind that. So yeah, you can put it up and then I'll say something else afterwards.